Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come to pass, and now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit, I'm making the way. And by my Spirit, you'll begin to rejoice and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. For I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. How much I love that prophecy. Praise you, Lord. Every time I listen to it, hallelujah, I am reminded, praise you, Lord, of the promise of the Lord, the promise of our God who have promised to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome, awesome God we serve, my brother and my sister. Amen. We are so grateful. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Highly appreciate it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. So shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Amen. I miss you on Sunday, and I hope you did also. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. I pray. I wanted to leave someone that could do it on Sunday. Hallelujah. But everything was so short in such a short notice. Amen. Praise you, God. And so I play. I decided to play in audio. Praise you, Yeshua. And so thank you for being patient and understanding. Praise you, God. But we are back. We are back. We are back. We are back. Amen. Don't know exactly where to begin. Amen. Praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has shown me certain things, and there are certain things I'm going to share. Hallelujah. I just came back from New Jersey. Hallelujah. My sister bought a house up north, New Jersey. And I prayed to the Lord that I could go, and the Lord confirmed that I could. And I told my family, let's go. Praise you, Jesus. And I tell you, praise you, God. Hallelujah. I had an experience which I want to share tonight, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. I want to go into the word, and then I go into the revelation of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is so awesome. Amen. People have emailed me the word of Sister Barbara. Amen. Amen, Brother Flower. Amen. These have been wonderful word, encouraging word, the one Sister Barbara gave 2 days ago. Amen. We have those audio. We'll play them later on. My brother and sister, God will fulfill his promise. Amen. He is faithful. Okay? He is faithful. Praise you, Yeshua. We serve a faithful, faithful God. Amen. And that's what we, hallelujah, need to keep in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 24, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And to some of you that are joining us, that shalom, David Torres, Scott, shalom. Amen. Those that are joining the Lord's servant, shalom. Hallelujah. Joseph, shalom. Amen. Shalom to each and one of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope the Lord will speak to us tonight. He has spoken to me, amen, through dreams and vision and revelation. Amen. And so I'm going to share them, but I want to go into the word first. Ephesians 6:11-24 says, put on the whole armor of God. My brother and sister, put on the whole armor of God and do it every day. When you go in prayer, amen, remember the armor. Remember Ephesians 6:10 or 6:11 and on, and put on the armor. It's very important that we put on the armor of the Lord, because the enemy is always planning against us, my brother and sister. Okay? You don't know how he comes against you or how the attack is going to come, but we need to put on the armor. It's very important that we are aware, that we are prepared. We are aware that these things are being planned behind our back, and that we're prepared spiritually, that if the attack comes, my brother insisted, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're ready to battle. We're ready to stand, okay? And God calls us to stand. Very important. Thank you, Jesus. Wait until you hear what I have to share tonight. I hope it will teach you. It will help you to learn. Amen. And will help you keep that in mind with the Lord. Either we need to put on the armor. The Apostle Paul says, why? That you may be able. Okay? That you're able. God has made us able to in him. He makes us able to in him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Without him, we are not able. But with him, we are able, my brother and sister. Without him, people are dying. But with him, they're able to live. You see how important it is to be able? Thank you, Lord. We are able to stand. Because the enemy makes people fall. When he tempted Eve and Adam in the garden, he made them fall. The plan of the temptation of Satan, of the devil, of Lucifer, was to make them fall from hallelujah, being close to God, being walking in a relationship with God. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When Adam was in the garden, God spoke to Adam, because in the garden was the presence of God. But you don't hear no more God talking to Adam after Adam and Eve left the garden. That we don't hear of any communication between God and Adam, because sin separates us from having that communication with God. And the only way to get back is through repenting, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man cometh to the Father except through him. And that's what the devil wants, to separate men and women from God. If he has you and I sin through temptation, we lose that communication. It doesn't mean that our name is erased in the Lamb Book of Life. It may still be there, but you cannot hear God anymore as you should. Adam could talk to God in the cool of the day, early in the morning with God. David said, oh, early in the morning will I seek thee. Praise your Lord. Early in the morning, God spoke with Adam, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everything he's throwing against you and I is wild. It is so wild. Everything, my brother and sister, some people say even the kitchen sink, all the utensil, all the knife, all everything, the forks, everything goes with the devil. He is trying to throw everything he can against you. Everything goes. Praise you, Lord. But when you take the armor, it hits the armor. It hits the armor. You are protected. It's like having a bulletproof vest, my brother and sister. You get shot in your chest. You have a bulletproof chest. Best, and you're protected somewhat, but you're protected. It protects the main organ of you. Bulletproof vest protects the main organ, your heart, your lungs. It protects the main organ. You are protected. You have main organs in you spiritually that if you're hurt there, your heart, hallelujah, spiritually and physically is a main organ because, hallelujah, if you are bitter, let not that be found in you, the Bible says. Bitterness, it's in your heart. But you have to be thinking about it. My brother insisted. And the devil is throwing his wild things against you. Everything that he can. Hallelujah. So he's watching you every day. You should be watching the Lord every day for you to be protected. The devil's looking at you. You look at Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The devil watches 24 hours. You watch the Lord 24 hours. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. That is, you're spiritually aware and connected with him. Aware that the Lord is your God, that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior. He is your protector. He is your deliverer. So you need to be aware. You can be aware even while you're sleeping. You can be aware even while you're sleeping. The wiles of the devil. Sounds like the Wild West. Everything goes. Everything goes but the devil. Whatever he can throw against you, he will throw it against you. It's not his problem whether you have the armor or not. The Bible calls him evil, Satan, fallen one. Okay? He's bad to the bone. He's bad. Okay? And he doesn't care whether you have your armor. If you have your armor, good for you. If you don't, you suffer. My brother and sister, if you got your armor, you're protected. Hallelujah. The Bible uses the word wrestle, not fight. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood because Jesus defeated him at the cross. The fight was at the cross, and Jesus overcame him. Hallelujah. He's, hallelujah, a defeated foe now, but now he can wrestle with you. He's not bound yet. My brother and sister, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. He says in high places. Here the experience I have as I arrived in New Jersey. A brother, Joseph from Massachusetts, bought a land in New Jersey and sent a van. When I arrived there in my experience with the Lord, he went to pick me up. The brother went to pick me up and said, Brother Joseph is waiting for you. I said, I just arrived with my family. Oh, he's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. Hey, brother, hey. What are you doing in New Jersey? You're supposed to be living in Massachusetts. Oh, I bought a land in New Jersey, a house and a land. I need you to come. Not much detail. So, dear brother, I said, okay. So my family, I'll be back. Got in the van and left. Went to the land. My brother Joseph. The Lord kept my spiritual eyes open. I saw him, and I saw demon in his land. And he says, the brother and I, Brother Elby's been rebuking these demons in this land. We try to anoint it with oil, and the demon don't leave, Brother Elby. Will you help us? As he's talking to me in front of me, a few feet away from me, he greeted me. I could see the demon standing in his land. My brother insisted. And the demon was talking with one another. And I can hear them talking. I can hear them talking. And one of the demons said to the other demon, I am not leaving this land. It belongs to me. Bible talks about stronghold. I can hear the conversation. I can see them, and I can hear the conversation. And I said, Brother Joseph, what is it that you have done? I know you were doing well, but how were you able to purchase this land, a few acres? And he's planting fruit trees like he wants to be ready for whatever is coming, which is a great idea. It's a great idea. How would you be able to purchase this land? He says, I invested in the stock market. And I said, that's the open door. The Lord revealed to me when I tried years ago to invest in the stock market, and I did. And I began to be successful, but the Lord showed me that there is witchcraft through it, sorcery, and black magic through the stock markets. When you buy these stocks, the demonic stronghold, he even showed me a demon in New York stock market running the stock market inside. That's why all the walls are closed and the closed and the windows are closed, and nobody's allowed to go in there because there's a demon running New York City stock market. The Lord showed me this. The Lord took me there in the spirit and showed me this. And now I'm standing over this brother land, my brother and sister, and it's full of demon everywhere. And they're rebuking these demons, and they're battling these demons, and they're tired because the demon will not leave. And I said, there has to be an open door. And when he shared with me that he had invested in the stock market, I said, Brother Joseph, this is the open door. Are you serious, Brother Elvie? I don't see nothing wrong with it. I said, Brother, there's so much witchcraft and sorcery and black magic in that business. You need to begin to repent this right now, Brother Joseph. He said, all right, Brother Elvie, I know you're a man of God. I will receive your word. I will begin to repent. And he began to repent. And as he began to repent, we began to rebuke demons. My spiritual eye was still open. As we began to rebuke them, they began to flee. They began to run from the smaller one. And they began to leave until there was only two arguing that they didn't want to leave. And he kept repenting. I said, Brother, keep repenting. Keep repenting. Keep repenting for investing in the stock market. And we took authority until the whole property was completely clean. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. But only the presence of God was there. Nothing else was left there. Praise you, God. I said, continue to anoint your land. But I explained to him how sorcery and black magic. When I was invited there, I said, I didn't come to New Jersey to do ministry. I came to rest and to spend time with my family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. That's what I was thinking. I didn't come here to do ministry. I came here to rest and spend a few days with the family before I get back and do ministry. Praise the Lord. But sometimes that's the way it is. Praise you, Lord. But before I left, the Lord also took me out in the spirit in my own house. And there was a demon that came in with some other demon. And I said, how you be able to get into my house? You're not allowed into this place. Leave. And some of the other one ran. But there was one demon who had a seal. A seal. It was trying to put the seal on my house. My brother and sister. And I said, you're not going to put that seal on my house. You're not going to put that seal in my house. And the seal looked like a price label in the store when you buy a product and you scan it to know the price, okay? But I knew in the spirit that the stand for the 666 system, Antichrist system, I knew in the spirit, my brother and sister, and I was rebuking this demon the one that had put that seal in my house. And while my wife and I were going to New Jersey, her iPhone, who was only 4G LTE, changed to 5G. And my wife got so scared. She said, how did my iPhone turn to 5G? I don't have a 5G phone. Because that's something we're fully aware. And she said, we don't have a... And then I remember the seal that the demon was trying to put in our house. He was trying to get the 5G into our life, my brother and sister. For we rest on that, says Paul. We rest on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Against flesh or blood. This is not against human. Flesh and blood is what human are made of, or animal, or dogs, or cat. My brother and sister, these are spiritual beings who are looking forward to putting a seal on people's right hand or on their forehead. And everything out there being made available for people has to do with the ministry of the Antichrist, my brother and sister. He's all against Christ. He's all against the church, and he's trying to establish himself among God's people. He wants to get everyone, either get them to start with the 5G, the coronavirus vaccine. He's looking for ways to try to get God's people, my brother and sister. Now, I learned that not everyone who gets the coronavirus vaccine, their soul goes to hell. Not everyone. Not everyone. Okay, because I was talking to one of my brother who got in the coronavirus vaccine, okay, my brother and sister, okay, and I was telling him why, and I asked him, why did he take it? When he heard me say last time I was there that the vaccine that was coming was not the evil one, was not a God. God did not want the people to get the vaccine. Then he tells me it was because of his job, and we had a nice conversation about it. But I also told him about this new medication that they're coming out with, my brother and sister. A bunch of brothers and sisters sent me the link of the video, okay, to my email, of this new medication that is being made available for people, praise the Lord, that can remove the rDNA that is being placed, my brother and sister, in the, hallelujah, in the coronavirus vaccine. Hallelujah. The change that the coronavirus vaccine makes in people's life, this, hallelujah, this medication, I'm trying to get the link to see if we can, hallelujah, play it, can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine in people's life. And people have been sending me this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for me to play this on the Lord's hour. Because this is like breaking news, my brother and sister. The Lord said that they will come with this new medication or vaccine, okay? They will make it available for people who will repent, and they will remove, my brother and sister. They will remove. Thank you, Lord. Let me see. Gotten so many links about it. Praise you, Lord. Not even one is coming out now. Huh? Thank you, Lord. That's the way it usually is when the enemy knows, hallelujah, that something can work, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. I'm still looking for the link. Someone sent it to me. Well, a few people sent it to me, not just one. Okay? Praise the Lord. That said that this doctor, I don't know if she's a Christian woman of God, but she says that this can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine, okay? I believe it is a fruit or a root, either one, that, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. No, they will have to send it to me again. It's not coming up on my email. I left it there so when I would need it, I could come back on the Lord's Hour and play tonight. But you see that this is what they do. The information like this is hard to hold on to, very hard to hold on to, because they fully know that if we keep putting this information out there, it will get a lot of people to praise the Lord. Those brothers and sisters that are listening, please send me the information again so I can go ahead and put it on the Lord Tower, play the audio on the Lord Tower. Okay? This doctor, professional doctor, is the one giving this information on this, but it was a root. It's like you can make a tea out of it, okay, that can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine from people's body. Those have been vaccinated. So it's an awesome new. It is really an awesome, awesome new. And I told my brother about this, that he can take this and have that removed from him, from his body, okay? Verse 13, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not just some, okay, but the whole armor, okay? And there's a reason why, my brother and sister, amen, herbs are great, amen. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. There is an evil day. In other words, there's a day when you're going to be attacked. No one plans to be attacked. But the Bible teaches you to be planning to be ready when you get attacked. Believe me, we try to do everything not to be attacked. And somehow we end up being attacked one way or another. It could be an open door. It can be a mistake or a sin that we'll make, and we'll be attacked. The devil will be there watching us because he watches day and night, okay? And we'll be attacked. Like, God can protect us day and night also, okay? God can protect us day and night in the way to stay in obedience, okay? But everyone sins. The Bible says everyone sins, okay? We're all going to sin. Even a tiny one that we say, we're all going to sin. Sin is sin. And the devil will be ready there to attack us. My brother and sister, very important that we understand that. Verse 13, stand therefore, having your loin girder about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. And I speak these loud. And you can say, Lord, I take the truth as a protection with my life. Girded about the truth, having the breastplate. I take the breastplate, Lord, of righteousness. You can say these things aloud. Because some people had asked, how do you say this? How do you take these? You can say them. Learn them well. Speak them. And spiritually, you can feel them coming in your life. My brother and sister, the breastplate of righteousness, Lord, I take it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your feet. With the shout, with preparation of the gospel, I take your gospel of peace. Hallelujah, it's my protection also. Praise you, Jesus. And above all, take the shield of faith. Lord, I take your shield of faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, for protection against the enemy. You can say them. You can claim them. You can declare them in Jesus' name. Take them, my brother and sister, because you will be protected against the enemy. And do this every day. Do this every day. Take no chances. Whereby you should be able to quench the fear of dark of the wicked. If you take the shield of faith, any darts of the wicked one, you will quench it, my brother and sister. You will stop it. Will not harm you. Will not harm you. You'll be protected with the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. Lord, I take in Jesus' name the shield of faith. Amen. Say your, pronounce it with faith, with authority. I take it, Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name. I put it over my children also. All three of them. One by one. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Very important. Amen. Learn them. Read Ephesians 6:11 and on. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Lord, in Jesus' name, I take the helmet of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can feel them coming on me now as I'm speaking them. Why? Because I do this every day. You do this every day to be protected from the attack of the enemy. Amen? Learn them. Learn the shield. Remember the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Amen? And just say it like this. Say it aloud. Okay? Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, I take your word, the sword. Say it, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Pray in all ways, with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is you saying, Lord, your word said this, I'm taking this. Supplication is, Lord, please. Lord, you promised this, please. Please, Lord, do this. Okay? And beyond. Supplication is just taking a step forward. Hallelujah. You're going the extra mile for someone, or for yourself, or someone else, a family, a friend, someone. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord does it. The Lord does it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Sometimes when I'm praying for someone and the person is being attacked, the Lord will let me know. If a lot of the time the person is being attacked as I'm praying for the person. And I'm rebuking, hallelujah, and uncovering the person with the blood, hallelujah, praying for the person, and the attack breaks up. My brother and sister, a lot of time is because we, hallelujah, I said this, and I don't mean no offense to no one. Please don't be offended. But sometimes we're too lazy to pray. We got to be honest. Okay? People are lazy to pray, my brother and sister. And I know this because I used to be one of those Christians until the Lord rebuked me for a very harsh, my brother and sister. He rebuked me.
You can keep your strong.
Thank you, Lord. Here's the audio. Let me see if I can inquire this audio because a lot of these audio are blocks where sometimes it's almost impossible to get them.
Click add to Chrome to continue.
Uh-oh. No. I may not be able to. Okay. All right. But there's the link and the chat room of the audio I just mentioned, my brother and sister. Amen. That's the audio for the medication that this doctor said that will reverse the coronavirus vaccine. Awesome. Thank you, Sister Rita. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So take the armor. Daily. Speak them aloud. And if you don't remember the word, you can write them down. You can separate the verse. You can repeat them so much until you remember them. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so praying always in prayer, in supplication, in the Spirit. Amen. And this is hard for some because some people say, what does that mean in the Spirit? It's when you're in the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit. That's one way to explain it. You're praying for someone, and he leads you to pray for something about someone. Or when I'm praying in the Spirit, he let me see what's going on in the person's life, if it's being attacked. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And since the Lord had helped me in that, giving me the understanding, the knowledge, the revelation, the gifting to help me when I'm praying for someone, he tells me usually what's happening there, spiritually, not physically. Spiritually, how the person is either being attacked or mostly what the need is. Then I can be praying, and then he can be revealing to me what it is, and then I'll be praying for that specifically. Amen. And then the Lord brings a breakthrough there in someone's life. And so what I understand this week was is, why is it that God tells us to always be in prayer and to pray for one another? This week, in the Spirit, what the Lord has helped me to understand is, my brother and sister, okay, not that when you pray, you get God involved in that person's life. It's that when you pray for the person, my brother and sister, that's the greater help that person can get. That's a greater help that the person get when you pray for the person. That's a greater help, okay, that you can give to that person. There's nothing else better that you can do for a person than praying for them. And to a lot of people, it may sound simple, not easy, because if it was easy, everyone will be praying. Everyone will be praying. People think that praying is easy. Or like some people say, they say a simple prayer, God protect this person. But specifically, when you are being led in the Spirit, when it's the Lord teaching you, leading you, he reveals to you the need in that person at that moment. And sometimes the person don't even know what the need is. The person is being attacked. That's the other thing the Lord was showing me this week. The devil is so deceiving that can make the person feel like they're the one failing. And it's the devil throwing the thoughts into that person's life. My brother and sister, yes, can he speak to the person's spirit, mind, spiritual mind, my brother and sister, because the Lord allowed me to see that in the spirit. You know how you wonder, that the devil speak to people's mind? That's the one. I wondered that for years. And this week, the Lord let me allow me to hear him speaking to the person's mind, speaking things like the person is thinking that he is the one failing God, and is the devil telling him to his mind, you're failing God, you're failing God, you're no good, you're this, you're that, and the person is thinking it is their own thought when it's the devil speaking it to them, to their mind. To me, I was like, wow, Satan is so deceiving. These demons are so deceiving. They're so evil. They're so bad. And the person is so down on himself. The person is like thinking he's not good, and the demon is speaking into his mind. And he's thinking that it's his own thoughts, that his own failure. But it's in that moment, if he began to cry out to the Lord, is what the Lord will let me see or understand. If he cries out to him, at that moment, the Lord will break that out of his life, that work of the devil, because that's the devil working in that person's life. And the Lord will help them right away. Jesus can break it instantly almost when you cry after him. So why do we hesitate to cry after him? Why? Pride mostly. And when the devil sees a person is prideful, which pride is pride in all of us one way or another, it can be a little or it can be a lot. But he uses that against you. He can see that you're not crying out to the Lord. And he uses that as an advantage for his attack on your life. When you should be praying, interceding before the Lord, you're thinking, oh, I can do this. I know what I need to do. And you're making your own plan. It's like you're making your own plan of salvation. When the plan of salvation, Father had made it through Jesus already. You're trying to save your own self, which of course it has to do with pride. But if you just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to overcome this. Jesus, help me to overcome this at that moment. And he was letting me, that's why I'm here, to help my children. But you're not asking. Then you're like, wow. And that's true. At that very moment when the devil is coming against you, deceiving you alive, attacking you alive, instead of you crying to the Lord, you begin to meditate on what the devil is saying. No. Learn to break that. Learn to break that. It's like the devil telling someone to their mind, you're depressed. It's your depression making you think this way or behave this way. That's a lie. The Lord can break that if you ask for help. Notice when you cry out to Jesus, your mind clears. And you say, Lord, please set me free from this. Break this, Lord, from my life. It's like immediately he began to break it. But if you're serious, fast. Don't just like some people do. They never fast, but they always pray. But then they don't see the full results of their praying because they never fast. I learned from the Lord that if you fast, you're serious. You truly want that deliverance when you fast. When you say, Lord, I need you to do this for me. And then you pray and fast. Oh, my God, you're so serious. This is why they did that in the Old Testament. Moses, Abraham, all of them. David fasted. Elisha fasted. Why? Because that's the seriousness of your heart. When you pray and fast, look what Jesus taught his disciple when they could not rebuke that demon. What a prayer and fasting had to do with rebuking the demon. Because prayer and fasting, if you being serious with God and bringing the presence of God into your life, and that empowers you that when the devil comes against you, it's not you, but it's Christ that liveth in me. My brother and sister, you see, it is Christ in you now. And the devil sees the Lord. Ooh, wait a minute. He leaves. I thought it was her. I thought it was him, but I better get out of here. He sees the Lord in you. And no one can overcome the Lord. He's more than conquered. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. So that's what the Lord wants in us. That's why he wants to be in our life. What he said to the disciple, I will be with you all the days of your life. When you feel him, he's with you. When you don't feel him, he's with you every day. Remember the question I asked the Lord? Lord, because I had to ask that question. Why there's day you don't feel the Lord? And he says, I said, Lord, are you there? He says, I'm there even when you don't feel me, he says. And it's based on what? On his promise. My brother and sister, based on his promise. Thank you, Lord. He said, I will be with you. So how do I get to know that he's always with me? Believe. It's an act of faith. Simple. You believe, it is so because he says it's so. Heaven and earth will pass from not my word, he says. He is truthful. And you can take this word all the way to the throne and say, Lord, you said you will be with me every day of my life. And he can show you your whole life and him being there always in your life. Lord, but there were days I never felt you. I didn't feel your presence, Lord. I didn't tell you to walk by feeling. I tell you to walk by faith, my child. He's going to say, you're like, huh? But I wanted to feel you. But it was not about feeling. It was about faith. You see how people confuse the two? Feeling and faith. When you don't feel, you think he's not there when he's there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. The disciples say, so we walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I saw Jesus in heaven one time confirming his word to those that had died where they didn't see all the promise that God come to pass. And they were in heaven wondering. And Jesus came to them. I saw this in heaven. And he began to explain to them and show them his promise. And he says, my promise are true. My brother said, and when he began to show people, they were like, wow. They're blown away. This is incredible. Hallelujah. My word, he says, is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. By faith. By faith. Thank you, Lord. Because if you can talk to the Lord right now and you can ask him, Lord, are you with me? The answer will be yes, my child. Even though you don't feel him. Okay? It's by faith. My brother and sister, and if he would not be with us, we would not be here. You see the other thing? If he would not be with us, we would not be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. Jesus overcame him on the cross. That's why the Lord is, why are they so concerned with the devil? Why already came? He already overcame him. All we need to do is to learn to trust the Lord and believe his promise. My brother and sister, praise your Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise your God. See, when I saw a demon and a group of them come entering my house to try to put the fear, I said, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Straight. No fear. Not afraid. You don't belong here. Get out of here or I'm going to rebuke you in the name of the Lord. No fear. Why fear? It's faith. My brother and sister, we fear the Lord. My brother and sister, the enemy will rebuke. We resist, we rebuke in the name of the Lord. No fear. Praise to God. The Lord is with us. And I don't have to turn around, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? No. Just rebuke him. Thank you, Lord. Trust in the Lord. I know he's with me. Hallelujah. Praying always and praying supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, watching thereunto, but all persevering. How do you persevere? You persevere by always remembering what he said, what he promised, and by doing what you and I are supposed to do. Pray and watch. Pray and fast, or fast and pray, as he said. You do that always. You fast at least one day every week. One day every week. And you pray every day. Every day. And if you can join us in the corporate fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you are welcome and you'll be blessed, my brother and sister. Okay? That's what that is. You join. You join the body. And before I ask, before I put this offer on the Lord God, I ask the Lord, can I do this? He says, yes, you can. Waited to hear from him. Because people wonder, why are you talking about fasting on the Lord's Tower when fasting is prior between you and God? And I know what the word says about that, but this is a corporate fasting. This is me motivating people to join us to do it because the majority of people are not doing it. You see? That's why what I talk with the Lord about. If people are not doing it, if the Lord had me doing it, I invite other people to join us. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Okay? Then we can do it together and motivate one another. I suppose to encourage one another with these words. When he talked about the departure, encourage one another with these words. It's for us to encourage one another. You know how many people are discouraged in this world? Billions. So the bride of Christ is here to encourage people to see God. Okay, let's do it together. Okay, a lot of people don't say let's do it together. No, let's do it together. Okay, the Apostle Paul invited them, praise the Lord, to imitate him as he imitated the Lord. Let's do it together. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you let's do it together. Join me on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let's do it together. Let's fast together. Monday, no liquid, no food. Then Wednesday, we're liquid, and Friday, we're liquid. Simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. To 4 o'clock, to 5, to 6, whatever time you leave, but it's usually to 4. Okay? I'm not going to be a Pharisee and make you carry it longer. Let's do it together to 4, my brother and sister. Together. Okay? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell you, pray and fast for me as I go on vacation for 3 months. I'm not going to do that because you also deserve a vacation. You also deserve to rest. Praise the Lord. And ministers have done that over the year, and that discourages people. Oh, here's another one taking advantage of people. No, let's do it together. Praise the Lord unto the rapture. Okay? Unto the rapture. Simple. It's so short, the time we're going to be doing this. It's only until the trumpet sound, which is about to sound. Thank you, Lord. Then you hear the prophet of the Lord Jesus is about to return. This is going to happen any day. So this fast and praying is going to end very soon. Let's do it together. Thank you, Lord. We've only been doing it for, what, 8 years now? Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5:8. Well, let me finish the verse. Watching, therefore, unto all perseverance in supplication for all saints. How many saints? It doesn't give you an amount. It tells you all. In all, it's all. Praise you, Lord. Let's pray for all saints. Lord, help your church. Help us overcome. Help us endure. Help us persevere. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He roars, okay, but he goes around, and he never stops going around. Hallelujah. Seeking, he walketh around. You know, he got wind. The devil has wings. He can fly. But he, when in regard to seeking whom he may devour, he walketh around. He takes his time. Who's not praying? Who's not seeking God? Let me see. Who's not trusting? Who's not getting close to him? Because if she or he that I know are not doing so, I'm going to attack them. Usually the attack is when we sin. Like Brother Joseph investing in the stock market, that opens the door for an attack. There are many other things, sinful of the flesh and other sins, like idolatry and so much more, that can open the door for attack. The devil's walking around seeking who's doing these things that they're not supposed to be doing, because only in his kingdom is full of sin, and there's someone righteous doing the sin that they're doing, he's looking who's stepping a foot or an arm out for him to attack. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Haven't you been great? Your health has been great for months and for years. Another sign, you get an attack of something in your health, and you're like, what's going on? Where's this coming from? You just got attacked. By setting an open door, a sin. My brother said, that devil has been watching you for months and years, that you're not getting sick, and he wants to get you sick. Because when he gets Christians sick, he gets them frustrated, and he gets them to blame God. Oh, why is the Lord not healing me? Why am I not being healed? Why am I getting sick when I'm praying for healing? And the devil loves those people that like to complain, like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses, you have brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness. Huh? They love to murmur. And sometimes we find ourselves like them. My brothers and sisters, no. We need to be careful not to be like the children of Israel. 2 Samuel 24:1, and against the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said to move David against them to say, go and number Israel and Judah. Some people say, to count the people that made the Lord angry. No, you know what it was? That David was putting his trust in his army. And our trust is never on our country or our army or the Marine or the president or who's in office. No. When people were trusting in Donald Trump for 4 years, that made the Lord angry. Because you were never supposed to be trusting in him. You were supposed to be trusting in the Lord. What the Christians say, Donald Trump is going to bring us into the new future. Huh? It's the Lord who's going to bring the new things for us, my brother and sister. Okay? Okay? And so when David told them to count the people, David said to say, go and number Israel and Judah. Go and number them. Let's see how great our army is for us to defeat the enemy. My brother and sister, yeah, the army was there. But God defeated their enemy because he made the promise first, And all David had to do was, God, you promise us that, hallelujah, you promise us that we're going to defeat our enemy, and God will hearken to the prayer of David or whoever was in office, and God will defeat the enemy from before them as they pray all together and repented. That's how it was. Now, I said to the people, when Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu signed those documents 3 times, I said, Donald Trump got removed from office. Now Benjamin Netanyahu got removed from office. Haven't I been saying this since November, September? I said, go back in the archive. Said it for Donald Trump. I said it for Benjamin Netanyahu. I said, they signed what? They're going to give what? They don't have the right to give the land, the eastern part of Jerusalem, to sign it up to the Palestinian, to the Arab. I said, this is not good. This is not good. This is not good. This is going to make God very angry now. And the outcome out of this is not going to be any good. It's not going to be. Thank you, Brother David. Brother David heard it when I said it. This is not going to be a good outcome, my brother and sister. And there you go. First got Donald Trump removed. Now Benjamin Netanyahu got removed. They signed those documents. Benjamin began to persecute the Christian in Israel. The children of God. He wanted to bastardize everybody. There's a yellow line in heaven going up. That's not going to please God. He wants to bastardize my children. At that moment, God, he's not going to last. I'm going to remove him. That's it. That is it. My brother and sister, Jesus said, by the fruit, you will know them. They do stuff like this. That's a bad fruit. They're going to get removed. My brother and sister. And there it goes. Okay? Word fulfilled. Word fulfilled. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So when David said this, the angel of the Lord went and began to slew them. You can read the story. And when David saw what he was doing, he cried out to God for forgiveness. And God forgave them. God ordered the angel to stop. But that's what brings the sword. You trusting in another man when you should be trusting in the Lord. And if you do this, the sword comes. And then unless they repent and you're crying out to God, then God will accept your repenting and forgive you and say to the angel, stop. It was not a demon killing the people. It was an angel. Don't mistaking the word of God. God will not be mocked. Whatever man sow, he will reap. It was the angel of the Lord doing so by the order of God, my brother and sister. What David did was very disrespectful, very idolatry behavior. And no idolater will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So God has to punish him and the children of Israel for what they did. And of course, the sword will go not just to the innocent. It will go to the guilty. It will be to those that when David said, go ahead and count the people. Say, I'm one, I'm two, I'm three, raising the hand, all happy and celebrating. And the sword comes, they're gone. They're gone because they're supposed to be trusting in the Lord. Okay? They're supposed to be trusting in the Lord. Why did God raise Joshua? Because when Moses went out to the mountain, Joshua was in the middle of the mountain praying. What happened when these things happen? When you see these things happen, you pray. Like Joshua, stay in prayer, my brother and sister, because God will raise you up. The rest of the people, Aaron and them, were helping the people, hallelujah, made the bull that supposedly was the God that got him out of Egypt. Idolatry. They are all falling into idolatry. And that's how Aaron died in shame. God made him die in shame, my brother and sister. God punished him for what he did, my brother and sister, because you don't join the crowd. A lot of people are good joining the crowd. Oh, brother saying, yeah, amen to that. And they join the crowd. Be careful. I learned many years ago that when people say in church, everybody say amen. You be careful to what you say amen. If you didn't hear what the preacher say, don't say amen. Hold your tongue. Hold. And ask someone, what did he say? Be careful to what you say amen. Because if you agree with the crowd, you will be punished with the crowd. My brother and sister, you'll be punished with the crowd. And you're like, so what happened? And then they lose their job. They lose the fruit of the field. The locusts come and eat all the everything they have, the corn and everything. But oh, we had all that to send our children to college, and now we have nothing. They're all being punished together. And you that said amen there, you're being punished with them, and then you get mad at God. But it's because you said amen. You join with them without knowing. Do like Joshua, pray. Do like the Lord. I said, but he opened not his mouth. They insulted him. They called him for prophet. They said he was speaking by Beelzebul, and he opened not his mouth. He kept going with his cross. My brother and sister, we need to learn of him. Jesus came, I was telling my brother in New Jersey, to teach us how to serve God. Jesus is the great example. You want to know how to serve God? Look to Jesus, your teacher. What the Father said about him when he began his ministry, this is my beloved Son, in whom am I pleased? He didn't say, in whom am I going to be pleased? In who I was pleased? No. In whom am I pleased? Jesus pleases the Father. You know what he does right now for you and I? He liveth to intercede for you and I day and night. Why day and night? Because the enemy comes against us day and night. Before the devil brings any attack against your life and my life, Jesus already prayed for you and I. That's why he made us more than an overcomer. I know this is difficult for some people to say, but Brother Earl, then why will we attack if the Lord already prayed? Because you also need to take responsibility for your action. You cannot just leave it all up to the Lord. You need to be repenting. What did the Lord say? But the bride made herself ready. This doesn't say, but the Lord made the bride ready. He makes us ready when we repent and come to him. My brother and sister. That's why he says, come to him, all ye that labor. Come to him. Who labor? We all labor in the Lord. If you pray, you labor. If you seek him, you labor. If you trust in him, you labor. It tires your soul. It tires your spirit. You labor. Every day you're laboring if you're trusting in the Lord. If you're reading his Bible and trusting his promise, you labor. There's a work. Labor is work. There's being done in your spirit, in your soul, in your life, a change, a transformation, a purification, a consolation. You labor every day for the Lord just by trusting in him. You're working hard. Some people say hardly working. No, but you're working hard because it takes faith, my brother and sister, hallelujah, to wait upon the Lord. That's like when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith? Hallelujah. Because faith is being worked in your life through the Holy Spirit for you to be ready to departure to heaven. Thank you, Lord. This plane of Christ is taking off soon. He's getting everybody ready to come into the plane for takeoff. My brother and sister, this departure for people to enter into this plane is going to take off. Hallelujah. And it's fully fueled, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit of God. And when this plane takes, my brother and sister, if you are not in there, when hallelujah, Noah was ready, he ordered his family to come in, and everybody came into the ark. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was still seeing who else is going to come in. Hallelujah. And he's waiting. God gave him 7 more days, and nothing happens. Hallelujah. It should have been that if God gave him 7 more days, my brother insisted, a lot of people believe that in those extra days that God gave the people, water started coming down from the cloud. Remember, it never rained. It never rained. It never been a departure of thousands of people disappearing at the same time, similar to the time of Noah, my brother and sister. It never rained. So if it began to, if water started coming from the cloud in those 7 days, and people started feeling the water over their house, over their life, and like, what is this? This cannot be water. Huh? Maybe Noah was right. They're still not running to the ark. Huh? Wow, I'm in a field too of water. They're still not running to the ark. 7 more days God has given them. My brother insisted. The only thing that God needed to do was to pick them from the water and put them in the ark to save them. But God was not going to do that, because they needed to make themselves ready. You know what it was taking for them to be ready? I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for not taking your word seriously. I truly repent. I'm going to make it. I still got a few days. I'm going to make it to the ark. I'm going to head up with my family to the ark right now. It's only going to take me a few hours to get there. Okay? That's all they had to do. But no, even that was like too hard. It was like God was asking them too much. Too much of them, and all they had to do was repent and say, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I have fallen from grace. Since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have been in sin. I am so sorry, God. Please forgive us. Please cleanse us with your blood. Please forgive us. Write our name in your book of life. Truly repent. Truly cry out to God. I am so sorry. Help me. Help me to make it to the ark. But now more than that, my brother and sister, and Noah finally went into the ark, and Father shut the door behind him. Boom, the door is shut. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, the same calling is being made now. This plane to heaven, this departure is about to take off. We are behind the departure line right now. We're making ourselves ready every day, repenting, praying, and fasting. My brother and sister, confessing our sin before him. Thank you, Lord. Okay? That's how we stay in the line. And we stay focused on Jesus, who is the door of the departure. And we enter. What did Jesus say? Enter through the door. He is the door. As we enter through him, my brother and sister, into the ark, we disappear. The Lord's given me this experience in the spirit. He had me enter into like an ark, which is this departure. And I saw brothers and sisters there in already. Their soul or their spirit was still there. And I saw them. Wow. And I joined them. And I wondered about the ark. But I saw something about this departure. The door was closing. Closing, closing, closing. And then it was given to me a revelation that this door is not going to remain open for too long. And Father came, boom, and shut the door. And that was it. Whoever was ready, go home to being with Jesus. Whoever is not ready, stay behind. This is what he showed me this week. He showed me the way. I saw the way, holy and pure. The way is Jesus, my brother and sister. The way you and I need to walk and are walking now. And the Lord reminded me that we need to stay in the way. Don't get out of the way. Stay seeking him and trusting him. Then the Lord showed me our economy here that is going to fall. But then God is talking about provision for his bride, the children. And he provided us with everything we need to provide those that are going to be going hungry soon. I saw myself and other, my brother and sister, we were providing food for the people. So as we share the gospel of Jesus, of salvation, to those the Lord wants to save, we share, my brother and sister, we give them food and bread, and we share the gospel. And people can receive hope in Christ to get ready to be going home with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The only way people will begin to see Christ very clear very soon is when this economy falls. And the Lord in this vision assured me, because I saw it, it's going to fall. And when it does fall, or before it falls, the Lord is placing us in position right now, spiritually and financially, very soon to supply food for these people. We're going to have the food, the money, the supplication from God for these people that are going to have great need and going hungry, my brother and sister. But it's not just for us to feed their stomach. What about their empty soul? Hallelujah. It's for us to supply them with Jesus, the bread of life, that whoever eat of this bread will never be hungry again. And whoever drink of his water will never thirst no more. My brother and sister, humanity very soon will be very hungry and very thirsty. I already heard year past that Bank of America and other banks and companies are buying water supply, are storing water, and they're comparing water in the days to come and years to come like gold. If you have tons of pure water, my brother and sister, it's like having gold. Even one billionaire already bought the rain for one to stay in the United States and people don't even know. He bought rain. In one state of the United States, I don't remember which state it is now. In one state of the United States, you're not allowed to collect rainwater. Okay? Because he bought the rain of that state. And if you collect rainwater, you will be fined by the state. The state sold this billionaire the rain. And he has the right to the rain. And other states are looking into this. He owns it. Other states here in the United States are looking into this to sell to people like him the rain, my brother and sister. Okay? And so this state is already telling the citizens not to collect rain or is illegal. Illegal. This is happening now in the United States. I saw a report online and I was blown away. Blown away. Bill Gates is buying the land of the U.S. He has hundreds of thousands, no, millions of acres Bill Gates has bought already. Okay? If they find any, or anyone say, or they find that you're collecting rain in that state, you will be fined, heavily fined. Bill Gates is finding practically all the acres of the United States. There's other groups that have been doing that, but Bill Gates is also. He will own all these acres and still have not told anyone why specifically. But he's doing it under with lawyers, legal documents are being signed. States and government are agreeing with this, my brother and sister. Okay? And so watch out. There is a lot of move being happening now that people are not aware. They're not aware that these law people are doing these things. This man that bought the rain, the billionaire that bought the rain in that state, other billionaires are looking into doing the same in the rest of the state of the United States, and they're going to do it worldwide. They're going to buy the rain. They're buying the greater water supply. They're putting away water. They're creating places where they can store water for years and keep it clean, because they know that water is going to be more expensive than gold, my brother and sister. And all the vision the Lord has given us of the Great Tribulation, what is one of the things that you see people looking for that they cannot find? And when you ask people, what did they say to you in the Great Tribulation? There's no water available for drinking. It is, we cannot afford to buy a quart of water. Cannot buy a cup of water anymore. It's too expensive. That's in the Great Tribulation. And the water in the rivers and lakes are fully contaminated, my brother and sister. And if you drink it, it's like poisoning yourself. Okay? That's in the Great Tribulation. Why is it to that level? But there's no drinking water, lakes water, river water, ocean water are fully contaminated. They know that our oceans right now are being contaminated. Brother Benjamin knows what I'm talking about. The Lord has taken him there. Okay? All this coming to the Great Tribulation is horrible. Is God going to allow this? Yes. Because he's revealing it to us. Okay? It's part of their punishment for turning their back on God and trusting in men and their wealth and so much more. Die all for some idolatry, sorcery, black magic and all that. My brother and sister. So are they contaminating the water on purpose? The answer may be yes. To make people fully dependent on them. To control the planet, power control. That's what that is. My brother and sister, it's horrible. But this is why the Lord is calling people to prepare now to be going home with him. Because whoever stays behind, they'll be in the worst time of humanity ever. Worst time ever, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. I'm not doing that to bring you fear, but if bringing you fear bring you on your knees, oh, great. My brother and sister, bringing you fear brings you on your knee crying out to God, great. My brother and sister, there's some of that. But it's not about that. It's about trusting Jesus, seeking the Lord, getting ready to be going home. Look to Jesus. If you're trusting on this world that things are going to be good here without the Lord, it's not going to happen. Only Jesus can change everything and things. When Father began to change, what did he say? He called up on his Son, let it be light. He called on the light. He made the great light. He made the light shine. That's Jesus. Every creation he made in the image of his Son. The moon pointed Jesus. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, see, the moon borrowed from the Son. Jesus said that we belong to the Father, but the Father gave us to him. Hallelujah. Yes. They already been contaminating food. Why do you think we don't get all the vitamins and nutrients that our body needs when we eat? If he can say, been contaminating everything. That's why the Lord said, open my eyes, my children, God is saying to us through his prophet. Open my eyes. Open your eyes. Don't you see what's happening? The evil ones are already at work. They've already been doing this evil for a long time. They've already been contaminating meat, vegetable, and everything. Fruit. Everything, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to buy peach because when you, according to what they say online, peach are true to see. If you buy a peach and you can get the seed and plant it, you get a peach tree and it will produce the fruit that you need. But these people know this already. And so every time I go buy peach in the market to try to get the seed, you know what they do? The seed, when you open the seed, is damaged. They collect the peach premature and they storage it so the peach can change color, or they do it through lights or many other ways. There's many other ways for them to do it, but they do it so the seed doesn't mature. So when people buy the peach, they don't get a tree from the seed. That's the whole purpose. My brother and sister, they are controlling the seed. People, companies already owning the seed. They have put a partner on the seed, a legal right in the seed, a license to the seed, where they can find people who use their seed. And they find out who's using the seed. There's so much behind all this. I've seen report online, and I'm like, there, what? It's not supposed to be that if I buy the peach, I should own the seed. But they're telling you, no. With many other things, oranges and things like that. My brother and sister. So in order for me to get a good seed, I have to order it online from someone who has a peach tree who's willing to sell the seed in order for me to have a tree from a peach tree, my brother and sister. Harrow what they're doing. It's just terrible. It's hard to get really what you need because everything is being done in a way where they don't want you to have to see the plant. So you have to buy their fruit, which is not really right for you to eat. Hallelujah. It's just incredible. It's just, and they do the same thing with apple, pears. They do have all these fruit that you like, that you want to have. You want to have the seed to plant it in and then get a tree in, but they manipulate it in such a way. They even use chemical on them to the seed. If it grows, it will be useless. That's another thing they do. It's terrible. Praise the Lord. But there are people of God out there that knows this. Okay? They knows this. And there are people preserving seed. Preserving seed. I think I heard a testimony of someone that the Lord told to my daughter, preserve from your tree the seed for years to come, because some of my children are going to need it, okay? So they'll be available for them, because the Lord knew this was come. He knew. He knows the evil one before any thought comes to their mind. He knows how they're going to behave. What do you think they did in the times of Noah? They contaminated humanity. They did so much evil where people could not live normally back then and just acted all evil like them. And that's kind of what they're doing now, my brother and sister. I told my brother, that coronavirus vaccine you have in your body has nanotechnology. And the moment they want to manipulate you and control you through their computer, they will. Plus, the nanotechnology in your body is sending information about you to them through their servers. It's already been proven online. There was someone who hacked into the system and saw this and saw the information of those that are being vaccinated being sent to these computer servers who's collecting this information about their thinking, their plan, their agenda, everything. They know everything about these people that are being vaccinated. It's all, my brother and sister, control, manipulation. And if they control these humans so easily through the vaccine, okay, when they don't want people to riot, they'll send a message to them, don't riot, and they won't riot, okay? They'll totally control them. The Lord took me, I was over 2 years ago, he gave me this dream where he took me to the Great Tribulation. The church was already gone. It was like 2 years in the Great Tribulation. It was here in the United States. And I saw how they were controlling people. They were making them walk in line in front of one another. And one single soldier can control thousands of people, okay? Not like right now. If they want to control the population, they'll send thousands of soldiers. If people are rioting, if people are looting, if people are doing all these kind of illegal things, they'll send police officers by the thousands, and they'll beat on people, and they'll even shoot people and all that, okay? And the Great Tribulation was the opposite. One police officer walking, it was a female, and the other one was in the car, driving the car, behind thousands of people. And when the Lord showed me this, this officer was controlling all these people in front of them, in line, obeying this officer, totally obeying what the officer was saying, which is, if you had no power, if he had no food, if he had no water, okay, what is the attitude that people get? Looting, killing for water, killing for food. You know, that's how the Great Tribulation gets so worse, gets so bad. But because they already have been vaccinated, they can control these people through the computer, and one single officer can control thousands of people. And when I saw that, before the vaccine was on the scene, I didn't understand fully what the Lord, I would trust it. Of course, you trust the Lord, you believe the Lord. But I didn't understand fully why can two officers control thousands of people in the street of the United States so easily in 2 years, practically, in the Great Tribulation, and they had to obey what they were saying. And I didn't see not one of them trying to punch the officer, resist arrest, anything like that. Which it will be easy to do it during the Great Tribulation because you're hungry. There's no food. There's no water. And you just want to survive. No. These two officers were controlling them so easily. The officer was practically laughing, controlling thousands of people in front of her. A woman no higher than 5'7". And I didn't see her having a gun on her hand outside like to threaten them, like if you move, I'll shoot you, nothing like that. Okay, and the Lord wanted me to see that, pay attention to how easy they were controlling the multitude, my brother and sister. And I'm like, wow, how are they controlling all these people? How can two officers control thousands of people? It was over 3,000 people. How easy can they control them? And they were obeying every command. And so now I know how. If they're vaccinated, they send a message to the body, the robots that are in their body, hallelujah, they'll send a message to them, and these people cannot refuse them because the robots that are in their body are multiplying themselves by the day. Every single day, as long as they're vaccinated, these robots inside the blood that goes to the brain and all over the body is multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And these robots are so small and it's all over the body that the robot becomes like one machine inside them. So as a person, when the person receives an order to walk forward and not to look side or backward, the person cannot resist the order because it is the machine inside them obeying the order 100%. And now the person is not in control. The person can be thinking, where are they taking me, maybe? Or why can I not stop myself, maybe? Okay? Or why don't I have control of my arm and on my leg or on my body? These people have total control of people's body. And I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering how, because it's about 3 years ago. And the Lord wanted me to pay attention to this. I was fully there watching this. I was on the sidewalk standing while I'm seeing this officer. I don't believe she could see me or them, but I can see them clearly being total control by our government, by our police. Being police, my brother and sister, And I'm thinking of the uniforms that the police has, because it was not like your local police. It looks like it was the UN police, which are being work right now behind the scene. The world is getting ready to have the UN lead them. Remember years ago when they said that the UN was working out a plan when Obama was in office, and Obama had put in the hand the internet, worldwide internet is in the UN hand. Worldwide financial control is in the UN hand, my brother and sister. All banks control are in the UN hand. Everything is being put in the UN hand. And so in the Great Tribulation, you begin to see UN officer, like you will see the police now, policing people, but with total control over the people, my brother and sister, because as long as people are being vaccinated every day, they are giving the government control over their body. And this is horrible. This is sad, but it's horrible at the same time, because now they lose control. They don't have control. And so why are they not controlling them yet? I believe it's because these robots need to multiply to the point where they can have total control over their body. I believe, like I said to my brother, this was used in Iraq, tested in Iraq with soldiers. Okay? And they find out it works 100%. And now they're using it in citizens. It's sad. It's so sad. It's world control that they're doing. That's what they did in the times of Noah. That's what they did in the times of Lot. This is why the men, when they saw love of those three men, they didn't even call them angels. The Bible said they were angels. But they said it was man. They saw man. They look like human to them. And when they want to get a hold of them, that means that out of all the people there, they knew law. Okay, law rejected the Bicene, let's say. But these men, who are they? We want to meet them. In other words, we want to make them part of us. My brothers, they want to make those angels part of them. Okay? But those angels were not there to be part of them. They were there to protect law. Okay? You know that the same thing that God sent angels to protect law, God showed me the other day, last year, that he sent into the earth angel to protect his children. And when you see them, but when people will see them, maybe they will see men. But when you see them, you know they are angels. And they're going to tell you they're angels. And they're going to tell you why the Lord is sending them over you, to protect you, to be with you. Okay? This is part of what is coming soon, the Lord showed me. When Father said, I'm going to supply for my children. My children, Father says, I will protect, he says to me. Fear not. I will take care of my children, Father said. And then when he showed me us here in a bit worse time, now that everybody's being vaccinated, it came that, remember when I shared that, it came the point where Father showed me, God showed me, that our government in office was going to go after the Christians, after the people who are not being vaccinated, to try to force them to be vaccinated by threatening them, by giving them a choice to leave the country if they have to. You know, they're going to come against us like this. And God showed me that this is coming. And I told you this since last year. This is coming, and it's close. They're going to try to force us who have not been vaccinated to be vaccinated. If you hear Biden talking, like I was coming from New Jersey on the radio, put on the news, and Biden was talking about this, the vaccination issue that he's having, but he is working on fixing the problem, according to him. What's the problem? They have hundreds of thousands of people who doesn't want to be vaccinated. They see that as a problem, and they're working on fixing the problem. That's a problem that they're having, because they want all to be vaccinated. That's what the father of the devil wants, for everyone to be vaccinated. My brother and sister, but it's not the will of God that anyone will perish. Okay? So, then God proceeded to show me angels that he's going to send on the earth to be with us, to protect us, and to tell us where to go. Okay? Some of you are asking the Lord, Lord, where are you going to send me? Show me where you're going to send me. No, he's going to tell you through someone or an angel where he wants you to go. The place that he's going to send you to will be fully angelic protected by the order of God. They will have order from God to protect you. And you don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid. They'll tell you where to go, where to be. You're going to join your brothers and sisters there. And the angels are going to be there. And he showed me this. I was stunned. Angel on the earth, physically to protect the bride. I know the angels here in the spirit. I've seen them. But physically, looking like human, mighty archangel. The one I saw, I knew it was an archangel. He was in a human body. He looked like a football player. Okay? And very strong, very strong, very, very strong, and fully knowledgeable of what God was telling him, how God told him to guide us and protect us, and he showed me the way. He told me which way to go, where to go, and I came together with a group of brothers and sisters, and we came all together, and people were reading the Bible, some were praying, some were on the knees, some were sitting, some were worshiping. And he says, you're protected here. They cannot know you're here. They cannot detect you're here. They don't know how to get here, but we're the only one that knows. Okay? Only God. By God. Okay? Here on the earth. Here on the earth. My brother and sister, in the days to come. The Lord is getting us ready for a revival. A mighty revival. My brother and sister. This revival is the last rain, okay? But there's a transformation also that the Lord has spoken to us that is also coming in this revival. God is going to move on this earth in a supernatural way. He's going to give the people on this earth one last chance, my brother and sister. If they don't take heed, which many will, many that, my brother and sister, I believe now and I can see it now, many that are being vaccinated are going to repent and take the medication to remove the vaccine out of their body. Their eyes are going to be open wide, because before they got vaccinated, God sent messenger to them to talk to them, and they did not listen. They did not take heed to his message. And now that they know that everything God said it was true, my brother and sister, especially when they see the economy fall. Oh, this economy is going to fall so hard. So hard that the Lord did not want to show me the details on how hard it's going to show. Because there's going to be a lot of broken heart. A lot of people going to lose their homes. Their bank account. My brother and sister, their money is going to be gone. And they're going to cry and cry, why? You're not supposed to trust in your money. You're not supposed to trust in your bank. You're not supposed to trust in your government. And there's many institutions. No, you're only supposed to trust in the Lord Jesus and Almighty God. People have been trusting in the wrong thing for too long. And that wrong thing is going to fail them bad. My brother and sister, the devil will be laughing at humanity for death because he wants to see people suffer. But the Lord Almighty has a plan. He's going to use his bride to give humanity one last hope. This falling is not just in the United States. This falling, I believe, is worldwide. All the economy of the world right now are connected by dominoes. When one of them fall, when the United States fall, Europe fall, Europe economy is almost there. It just needs a little kick. And when the United States fall, that's going to be the little kick that's going to make their fall. Being held by a threat right now. That threat is the United States. When that broken, they're going to fall, and the rest of the country is also going to fall. My brother and sister, it's going to be sad. Sad. The days that are coming for this nation and the world for not trusting in the Lord fully, as he's been calling humanity. That's why the only thing standing is going to be Jesus, like always. In the beginning, he was standing. He is still standing. And he's going to stay standing when everything falls. Because his kingdom lasts forever. God has spoken. The Almighty has spoken. Jesus has from Father, hallelujah, the everlasting kingdom given to him by Father. And he's been standing from the beginning, and he's going to be standing in the end also. Anybody trusting him now will be standing with him. Hallelujah. He wants us to be part of his kingdom. We need to give up everything we love. Everything we've been trusting on for too many years, we need to give it up completely. Completely. Give up everything for him. Your trust in this government, in money, in everything you see spending, in the economy. Because all those gods are going to fall. The only true God is Jesus Christ, who's going to be standing forever and ever, my brother and sister. And whoever's trusting in him will stand with him also. That's the way it's been said from the beginning. Hallelujah. Money have blind many not to see the kingdom of the Lord. But as the day approaches quickly, people are going to see all this stuff falls and fall. He's been holding the economy because of his children. When I asked the Lord years ago, how is it that the economy has not fallen? He says, I'm holding the economy. And when I say it will fall, it's going to fall. But he said, when I say it's going to fall, he is the one that's been putting in there billions of dollars. Because the rest of the company in the world, all they do is take. They're takers, stealing, thief. My brother and sister, all they do is take from the economy. Company takes, government takes, everybody taking billion from the economy. And the Lord pouring in there, pouring. God is a giver. What do you think he says to us? It's better to give than to receive. Because he's a giver. He's been giving us from the beginning. If it wasn't for him, we didn't have an economy. My brother and sister, but he is so merciful. He is so good. He is so faithful that he keeps running the economy. But now he's saying through his prophet, the economy is going to fall. Now it's time. Now it's time, my brother and sister. Now it's time that we give up everything for him and trust him only. And understand that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, that no man cometh to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. That we cannot trust in anything else but Jesus alone. The Bible says in Joel 1 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and also Satan came among them. So sad. Hallelujah. Satan gives an account of everything he does too. We give an account, so will the devil. The devil doesn't do what he pleases. He can only do what he's allowed. As you and I, we only can do what we are allowed to do. My brother and sister, that's why when we stay up tomorrow, we should say, if the Lord will allow me to, if the Lord will me to do. Because no one knows the tomorrow but only God. Satan answered the Lord and said, see, Satan answered the Lord. Everybody answers to him. No one gets away with anything. We all have to repent. The only thing is that Satan doesn't repent. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he was giving Satan permission. Look, Satan, go ahead. Satan cannot just go and attack. No, behold. Hallelujah. All that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself put not for thy hand. Hallelujah. It is the Lord who allowed. Hallelujah. That's the only way it happens. There's no other way. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is in control. Praise the Lord. Psalm 109:6. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. See, the Lord stands at the right hand of the righteous. We stand at the right hand of the Lord. Or the Lord stands at the right hand of our lives for everything to be done right. But on the wicked, it also goes the same. Satan stand at his right hand. So thou, that's Psalm 109:6, sit thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Psalm 109:6. You see? The devil stand on the right hand of the wicked. And this is why from the high office of state and government, they can decree gay marriage. My brother and sister, they can decree to kill those innocent baby, abortion, from high office. Because Satan, when these judges do this, these wicked judges do this, Satan, they have allowed Satan to be at the right hand. And that's why they can take their mallet, boom, and decree it. That's why they can decree it. God allows it. Satan is at the right hand. And they'll decree it. And you say, but how can this be? How can this judge decree abortion, gay marriage, and all this stuff, and legal prostitution? Because Satan is at the right hand of the judge because they're wicked. By the fruit, you will know them. When they do this stuff, that means they're wicked. They're with the devil, my brother and sister. They were the devil. Zechariah 3:1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Hallelujah. But see, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, before the angel of the Lord. Jesus was standing with Joshua. The devil was resisting. In other words, the devil was there to accuse him. You see how it is? You see how it is? I've seen this. I've seen the devil accusing me before the Lord. But the Lord telling Satan that I have repented and he has forgiven me and there's nothing for him to accuse me of. When you repent, when Jesus showed me this, man, I was so happy he showed me this. I saw the devil and his angel accusing me in the cloud before the Lord. And the devil said, what you accusing him of, he has already repented, and he already has been forgiven and watched from it. So he had no case. When you sin, don't wait until the next day. Don't wait until Sunday to repent. Because that's what has been taught in a lot of churches for many years. Oh, no, just wait until the church service on Sunday. No, I'm working all this week. I don't have time for repenting. I do it on church on Sunday. when the devil at that same moment is already before the Lord accusing you. Look what your son did. Look, he's not even repenting. Okay? Praise the Lord. She's not even repenting. Look, Lord, your daughter. Why shouldn't she just telling people how great you are and all these awesome things you've done in her life? Look, she's seeing she's not repenting. See, we are responsible for our sin. That's why we need to be repenting. Always. Zechariah 2:2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord has chosen Jerusalem to rebuke thee. Is not this a branch plung out of the fire? And this has so much significance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because we are the children of Abraham by faith. To Abraham was Abraham bought that land because God told him so. The land for his children. So it also belongs to you and I. We can never agree in the division of Jerusalem. Our land, it belongs to you too and me. Because we are by faith the children of Abraham, father of faith, my brother and sister. Okay? And that land, our father, our grandfather Abraham bought it for a price to give it to his descendant, you and I. Jerusalem is so much as mine as any other Christians. My brother and sister, I can never agree with Jerusalem being divided, my land, your land, by righteousness is our. Hallelujah. So in that regard, may the Lord rebuke Satan for trying to rebuke Jerusalem, for trying to divide Jerusalem. Because God has chosen Jerusalem. God has chosen us. See, we are chosen to live in Jerusalem. That's why you and I are going to live in the new Jerusalem. Because if we go to this one now, we will not be recognized. The new one, we will. Because in the new one, everything is going to be revealed. So we're part of the new one. Thank you, Lord. And ownership with this one. Matthew 4:10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God. Him only shall ye serve. The devil is looking for worshiper. And he offered the Lord everything, the kingdom, if he will worship him, but Jesus will never do that, teaching us to be the same like him. Don't receive the offer of the devil. And the offer comes in many ways, through many people. They will offer you. That instead of serving God, you can do this other thing. And say, get thee behind Satan. That's it. Rebuke him. Don't receive it. Reject the offer. Matthew 12:26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then should the kingdom stand? Satan and his demon are working together. But one single purpose is to do evil against the church and the people. We need to learn as a bride, as brothers and sisters, to work together. How? We pray for one another. We're not in the same city. We're not in the same state. We will be at some time be together. But in the meantime, how do we work together? We pray for one another. I pray for you. You pray for me. And we keep praying for one another. Even if we don't know each other face to face, in this way, we stay in the union, the communion, in that relationship of God and the Holy Spirit in us, through the Lord, my brother and sister, and that union cannot be broken. As long as we stay in the union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that union has never been broken. It will never be broken, and it all will be standing. Stay in that union. As three and one in your heart, in your life. Keep repenting to him. Keep calling for help. Pray for your brother and sister. Get God involved in their life. And your family who are not saved, pray for them. Get God involved in their life. Say, God, help them. Remember what was revealed to my aunt in heaven last year? That it was told to her in heaven that if you want to help someone on earth, the best way for you to do it is to pray to God to help that person. And when you do that, you get God involved in that person's life. And because with God, all things are possible, God begins to make things possible for the person to know him, to come to him, to get closer to him, to hear him. God will do everything possible for that person to know. It is him talking to them. It is him reaching out to them. It is him protecting them. Some people who are not Christian right now can tell you, man, God delivered me from that car accident. Just like that, they can tell you, oh, no, God delivered me that. And they're not church going. They don't pray. They don't see God. But they can testify and say, it was God who delivered me. How do they have that knowing in them? Because God reached out to the person. That's how we need to pray for people. Because God can reach out to them and talk to them. When you cannot, when you try sometimes to share the gospel, they reject you. Oh, please don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear that. And then you pray. And then God can use someone who he knows he will listen to. Could be his mom. My son, why are you not seeking God? Why are you not reading your Bible, the word of God? And talk to them where they bow their head and listen to them. Not because you're praying. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you can only see how much. When the Lord showed me how much, I was stunned. I could not believe how much our prayer he can use to reach out people from all over the world. People who are thinking of killing other people, who got weapons on their shoulder, missed to lunch on other people. You pray for them in order to the Lord can touch their heart, touch their life, and have them repent and give their life to Jesus. That's incredible. When he showed me this, I was stunned. The things he can do through a prayer, my brother and sister. Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said unto Peter, go thee behind me, Satan, that art an offense unto me, for thou savor not the things that be of God, but the things of men. At this moment, this person, Peter, was being used by the devil. And Jesus had no problem revealing to Peter who was using him that it was not God, it was the devil. This happened with people. Okay? And it was an eye-opening to Peter. Moment you're being used by God. Who do we go but only you that have word of life, he says to Jesus. God was using it. Oh, that was not revealed to you by you, by flesh and blood, by my Father, Jesus says. One moment he's being used by God. Another moment he's being used by the devil. What's going on here? But Peter was learning to surrender his life to God. Surrender totally his life to God. He was not there yet. My brother and sister, Peter got it after Jesus died. When he totally gave his life to God, to the Lord. And now Peter prayed 3 times a day. My brother and sister, just surrender to God goes according to your commitment to God. If you say, I surrender my total life to Jesus, do you have a prayer life? Commit a life every day to the Lord. If you do, you have. If you haven't, you haven't. You're only saying you have, but you haven't. Because where is the fruit? Where is your proof in your own self? You're not deceiving yourself. But you're not deceiving yourself. Show me, James said, by your faith, your works. He said to the brothers and sisters, the faith without work is death. He says to them, imagine the faith. No, but we were taught by Peter, by Paul. And now you said for us to show us our faith through our works. If you're not doing anything, you don't believe. You're not repenting. You're not fasting. You're not in the Word. You're not seeking God. You're not crying out to him. You're not there. You got to do these things. You got to practice them. How do we become an evangelist? We practice preaching to the people in the street. Remember my pastor saying, people love to be in the pulpit preaching, and people to give a really good check of money. Everybody loves that. You want to start your ministry? Go out on the street. Look at the lost. Why don't you preach to them? Start your ministry there. That's what you need to start. Look at all the people sleeping in the park only. Go. What did Jesus say to the young man? Go sell all you have and give it to the poor. Go start your ministry this way. He was pointing to this young man how to go about starting his ministry. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. That would have been the more powerful ministry right there. Because not many people were doing that, but only the Lord and his disciple. Giving to the poor, collecting and giving to the poor. So if this young man who wanted eternal life, to get to eternal life, wanted to get there being rich with all the wealth in heaven, he will sell all he has and start a ministry giving it to the poor. My brother and sister, you know how many poor people were back then? By millions. He would have had a really powerful ministry, but he didn't saw that. He didn't see that. He started thinking how hard he worked for his money, and giving it all to the poor made no sense to him. Human logic, and lost the blessing of having the most powerful ministry, because Jesus said, greater things than these ye will do. My brother and sister, sometimes you go out to the poor, people don't see it this way. Everybody thinks, oh, the poor is broke. How can they help you? You're feeding people who are homeless, asking you for money. How is your ministry going to grow out of that? And God allowed me to show this to a pastor. I was doing ministry, and this homeless man came and gave me $100. I was not given to him because I already shared the word. He gave me $100 homeless. The pastor looking, huh? See, God was providing my need as he promised through this homeless guy. The pastor was asking me, how did this happen, Brother Ovi? I began to explain to him that our provider is the Lord. And if we don't judge people, like the homeless people. When was the last time you sat down with a homeless person and gave them maybe a coffee, a donut, gave them a few dollars? Somebody said, no, Brother Ovi, don't give money to those homeless people because they're going to take that and go buy drugs. And it made sense, but we are supposed to take care of those people now. God has given the homeless. That's what God told Israel. That the homeless, he told the priest, God has given it to us, to those that can help them. You know what God has done in the last day? All the homeless people in the world, God has given it to the church to support. All the people in the world that are broke, that have no money, God has given all those people for you and I to support. Now, so what is the problem, Brother Ali? You may say, but Brother Ovi, I don't have the money to support these people. See, that's the lack of faith. Because if you tell God, give me money so I can go and support these homeless people, God will supply you money. Huh? Well, I didn't see it that way. See the lack of faith? If you ask the Lord, Lord, why am I not providing money to these homeless people, broke people on the street that have no money? Why am I not supplying them with bread, clothing, food, everything they need? And the Lord will look at you and say, because you're lack of faith. But Lord, I don't have all this. And the Lord will say, why didn't you ask me to provide it to you so you can give it to them? Then you're like, well, I never thought of it that way, Lord. It's your lack of faith. Because if you ask the Lord, and this is the ministry of the Lord, because he told us to go do what he did, to walk according to how he walked. What did he do? He took 12 men and said, follow me, and went out preaching the word and feeding the poor, clothing the poor. That's what he did. We're supposed to do the same, my brother and sister. That means that every single poor person out there, We are responsible to take care of them. But why aren't we doing it how Jesus and his disciples did it? Because of our lack of faith. It's not that God doesn't supply your need according to his riches and glory and their need according to riches and glory through you. You are the vessel of God. You are the tool that God needs to fix them, to feed them, to clothe them. You are the one that God will use if you humble yourself and say, use me, send me, provide me to provide them. And God says, okay, not a problem. He'll provide you with it. And then you have enough. And thank you, Lord. I met a man the other day, last year, here in North Carolina, who came from Texas, a pastor, who prayed to God for the same thing, to be used by him so he can come and clothe people and feed people. He has one of the greatest church here. I met him. I shook his hand, told him to keep doing what he's doing. And he told me to keep doing what I'm doing. Thank you, Lord. Sharing the word. It's one of the biggest church here, my brother and sister. Okay? And that's all he did. And it wasn't because he had money or influence or connection like people think. No, it was because he prayed to God to supply him so he can go and supply these people. And God has done that with him. And now he's able to go with his wife and children and provide people with shoes, clothing, and the things they need by the thousands. A simple man. Okay? And he's not a white man. He's a black man. It don't matter the color, if you're white, if you're black, if you're yellow, if you're Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, or white. It don't matter who you are. All you need to ask God to use you, to supply you so you can supply others. And if God sees that your heart is sincere, that truly what you're asking is biblical, according to his word, according to his promise, God from the throne says, amen, my daughter. Amen, my son. And all of a sudden, your supplications start coming in. You're like, wow, look how much God is providing me with. If your heart is not in the right place, you begin to take big vacation to Hawaii and to travel the world and to get your private plane and to do this. That's not what God is saying. That's not what you ask God for, buying a house in the Hamptons. And here, and that's not what God provided you the money for. You pray that God provide you this to use it for the poor. What are you doing buying several houses all over the world and buying private plane and private security and a limo and not even have time to say hi or pray or fast or say God? That's not what God wants from you and I. That's how people are taking it to. God used me, God used me. All right, God said, here. And then they get a limo, they buy a mansion, several mansions, have a lot of the money in the bank, and that's not the purpose. That's not what you're asking for. God wants sincere prayer for us. My brother and sister, I heard a prophecy years ago that there were preachers in the 70s and in the 60s who cry out to God for God to use them. And God gifted them and provided them with so much for them to use it. You know what they did? They broke his heart. They broke God's heart. Because they asked him for money for the poor, and they ended up becoming wealthy themselves and forgetting about the poor. When the original prayer was, say, God, if you provide me with enough money, I will open programs and feed the homeless and buy them clothing and support them and housing and all that. And God began to open those doors. God began to supply them all those millions and billions. And then they ended up putting it in bank account investing, and they're not giving it to nobody. And I heard that they broke God's heart. But mostly what broke God's heart was, that I heard specific, was the gifts that they asked for. They say, God, if you give me these gifts, I'm going to use it for your glory. And go and lay hand on these people and do this for these people. And they began doing it right. They began doing it right. And there was miracle. They were raising the dead. I mean, they were doing things that people were like, wow, it's incredible. But they only did it for a few years. After they got all the riches they wanted, they forgot about the rest. No more ministry, no more helping the people. And I heard that there were angels in heaven sat. And the angel was talking about this, that God's heart was broken for this. He was saddened because they were supposed to use those gifts for God's glory. And the angel was talking in heaven. Someone heard the angel in heaven talking about this and say that they did not use the gift to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. My brother and sister, and this is the problem. When people ask God for things, the sincere will be that we will use it for his glory, to glorify him, and to help our fellow brother, our fellow sister, or the people in need. Really help them. But a lot of people, they got to put this gift in their hand to be able to conquer all this, have turned around and said, no, this is mine. I got what I wanted. And they fill the bank account. And they're investing in their mansions. And that's it. The ministry is over. It's all vacation all over the world, forgetting about the people. Oh, no, my brother and sister. May God keep our heart. May God protect our heart that we don't do the same. And I heard that testimony, that revelation. I said, I don't want to do what they did. No, no, God, please help me. Lord, I don't want to do what they did. I don't want to be like them. May the Lord help me not to do what they did, not to be like that, but to whatever we do, to do it for the glory of God. And it's this time that God is working on us, is to cleanse us and to prepare, because at any second he can put all this stuff in our hand to help the homeless. We know we're praying, we're believing God for the community that's coming. That the Lord told me it's for 5,000 people here in North Carolina. This is coming. It's the Lord community, not ours, God community. Jesus said to me, this is God's plan. It's going to come to pass. That we may do everything for the glory of God. That we don't take nothing that is of God out of this. Let his will be done and not ours, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I have the latest prophecy, thank you, Lord, from this week, from June. Sister Barbara and the other one, what the Lord has spoken to them, revealed to them. Let me pray this as last. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Pillar 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here with the prophecy I received earlier today. Join me in the, King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Let's start at verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Okay, that's as far as I'm going. Okay, this is the two witnesses. Now, I have not had a prophecy on the two witnesses for a while here. So I got this earlier today. Today is June 12th, 2021. Excuse me. Okay, here we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you will humble yourself before me, I will allow you to dwell in this land. The entire earth is soaked in blood. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sin and the sins of the entire world. The nation's leaders are stiff-necked. I had to look that up. They have shed innocent blood and refuse to acknowledge it. They believe they will not be held accountable by me. You will reap what you have sown. Soon, my two witnesses will shut up the sky and the rain will stop. Your crops will die. There will be no food. The lakes will dry up. There will be no drinking water. They will send more plagues. This adulterous and wicked generation will lay on the dry earth and beg for mercy. Did you show mercy to the baby in the womb before you tore it to pieces or burned it to death with chemicals? No. You held up a sign and said, "My body, my choice," and boasted about murdering the child I gave you. I have seen everything. I have seen enough from the unrepentant and reprobates. A mighty wind blows. A mighty change is coming to every people and nation on earth. I am coming with my reward. I am coming, and my reward is with me to give to each of you. Whoa, this is not good. Okay, we see what's going to happen here. Apparently, and we can see it everywhere, there has been no repentance from our country. There's been no repentance from any of the countries, apparently, on the earth. It's going on everywhere, the same exact thing. You need to read your Bible and understand what's going on here. The greatest commandments of all, love your neighbor as yourself. Have you been doing it? Think about it. We wouldn't be in this position if we were doing it. We wouldn't be in this position if we were following the Ten Commandments that he gave us. They didn't expire. They're still working. We're still obliged to do it, or obligated to do it. And we're not. Thou shalt not kill actually means thou shalt not murder. I have how many prophecies out there about the same exact thing, about abortion? The land is soaked with blood. The land cries to the Lord. He's not going to let it continue on. This is why we're going to get a hammer blow and zapped. Nobody seems to get this. He says they made laws to protect the sin. And they're proud about what they do. How can we be proud about murdering babies in the womb? How could our country have become such a horrible, horrible place? And all the children are suffering because of the laws they made protecting these atrocities. I can't even believe it. Judgment is coming. No one's going to escape. You will be held accountable. What does he say? The leaders, let's see, The nation's leaders are stiff-necked. They have shed innocent blood and refuse to acknowledge it. That said, there it is right there. That's the whole thing. The whole prophecy straight up on that one sentence. Are you watching me here and you're possibly a politician out there? Are you? Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening with the laws that you approved? They're not God's laws. They're man's laws. Man makes laws to hide his sins. Think about that. We see what's going on all over the whole world. It's the same thing. Every nation is the same. I don't see any difference anywhere. The slaughtering of the innocents. I think that was in my last prophecy. The same exact thing. And how many prophecy messages on why the United States of America and all the other countries are going to be destroyed or burned or whatever he's going to do. And then he talks about the two witnesses. They always make my hair stand up whenever I get anything about them. And they're not here. I'm going to be here fooling around. My two witnesses will shut up the sky and the rain will stop. Your crops will die. There will be no food. The lakes will dry up. There will be no drinking water. They will send more plagues. Think of that. Think of it if we're still here. Think of it if you're still here. He's going to go bang, 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 one hammer blow after another. No one is going to escape it. Get a Bible and read it. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need to read the Bible like your life depends upon it, because it does. No one's getting away with anything here. One way or another, we have to answer to God Almighty, stand before Him, and be accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Are you prepared to do that? You need to repent daily. You never know when it's going to be your last breath or your last day. You need to do this. I better not go off on a tangent here. But I want to thank everyone out there for all the encouraging comments under the videos. Thank you, everyone, that supports the ministry financially so we could help other people. Thank you, everyone, for all the things you send us in the mail. I get lovely things, clothing, jewelry, all sorts of things, cards, books, everything you could think of. Thank you so much for doing this for us. Thank you, everyone, for the translations under the videos in the other languages. What else did I want to mention before I forget? I remember, again, to like and follow us on the Facebook pages. And again, to check that you're still subscribed to YouTube, and make sure that you get hit the notification button so that you get notice of our videos. Now, right after I got this prophecy, and this is actually amazing again, I started hearing another one. So I might be back tomorrow if I get the next one. I'm hearing parts of that now. Please have a plan. Don't be caught off guard. Jesus is coming back. He's giving us all the opportunity to repent of the sin, and he's saying the nations aren't doing it. We know they're not doing it. You need to repent of your sins, and you must be born again to enter the kingdom. So please get a Bible, read it, join a Bible study group if it's hard to understand, or get a translation book so you can, it's easy reading for you. This is the most important thing right now, that you are saved and born again. This is the absolute most important thing, that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. I can't say it enough. I said it on every video. I better go. I don't know how this is. I never know how it's going to work out when I'm trying to upload. So God bless you all. We love all you guys, and thank you for everything that you do for us. Oh, one other thing before I forget. My granddaughter graduated high school on Thursday with honors. We're so proud of her. Just keep her in your prayers. All the kids that graduated, well, I'm not going to say all of them, but a whole bunch of kids are going on vacation. I think it's next week. So keep her in your prayers for traveling and the vacation, too. Come on, little push. Keep going. God bless you all, and be safe. And thank you for everything you do for us.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel. Today is June the 11th of 2021. I'd like to begin by encouraging all of you who are listening that God is a good God, that He is faithful to His promises, to His word, that He meets the needs of His people. He gives us every good gift that we stand in need of. He equips us with everything we need to live an abundant life, to be fulfilled in life, and to be effective in His kingdom. He is the creator of all things. He's created all things for His glory. We serve an awesome God. The word I'd like to share with you this morning is one that will encourage you that the Lord is meeting all your needs, that He is raising you up to be a mighty warrior in His kingdom, that He's called you to a place of ministry, and He's equipped you with everything you need to function fully in the call. His promises are true, and He's actively involved in our lives to bring them into fulfillment. I hope this word lifts you up on this day and gives you confidence in who you are in Christ. I'll begin reading scripture. Psalm 145, verses 13 through 16. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises, and faithful in all He does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. This scripture is straightforward in explaining the character of God, his trustworthiness, and his faithfulness to his people. Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." This scripture, too, speaks of the faithfulness of God to meet the needs of his people. James 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." This scripture, too, highlights the faithfulness of God and tells us that every good gift comes from him. Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This scripture tells us that God created us to do good works, that he's prepared these good works in advance for us to fulfill. I'll begin reading the word. "This is the day, says the Lord, when all those things that I have promised will come to pass. I am taking you out into the highways and byways with the message of salvation. You will marvel at the ease at which the message goes forth and at the great harvest that is brought in. The fishing lines are out and the catch is coming in. I am ordaining a great harvest from the sea of humanity. Every possible tactic will be employed to reach those who have not heard with my words of life. I am quickening my servants in areas of influence to go forth proclaiming the truth. They will be unable to hold back, for I'm speaking through them, and the words coming out of their mouths are words of life and hope. This is the day when the full force of the army of God shall be felt in the earth. Pick up the rod of authority laid out for you and run with it. It is the power of God available to you to do the works the Lord has called you into. It is the position of authority ordained for you from the beginning for such a time as this, says the Lord. Giftings galore are being released unto you. Creativity of expression and worship shall flow forth from your being. I will equip you. I will bring healing into areas of brokenness, and the flow will not be hindered as I open up one door after another to you. I hear the heart's cry of my people, and I will answer. I will put you into the places of ministry you desire. I will put within you everything that is needed. A colorful array of means of expression is being released unto you in this day, and everything that has been stolen from you through the years is being birthed back into you, says the Lord. You will delight in the goodness of your God as you begin to see and understand that creativity lost through years of drought is being restored. Dance before me. Freely express your love and adoration for me. Speak forth my word and flow in the works of my spirit. For as you do, the hearts of the people shall be softened toward the Father. They will begin to see the Father as a loving God. They will taste of the beauty of the Lord and see that God is good, that he offers a life of freedom and fullness of joy. For great joy shall accompany my people as they move in me, says the Lord. They shall function in life abundant. Every desire they have shall be fulfilled in the Lord, and they shall desire none other, for they will see that all their needs are truly met in me, says the Lord. My love for you is kindled, my children. I desire to meet your every need, to provide for you everything that you long for. Just keep your eyes on me, and you will see that every promise of God is true, that you will move in great ability and much creativity in all areas of the arts. It is time for the world to see that I truly am the Lord, that I am the creator and the giver of life. They will see the radiance of my people and recognize that the great blessings with which my people function are from the Father above. They will not doubt that there is a God, one who holds all things together and orchestrates the events of a man's life, bringing him into abundant life if he is willing to call upon the name of the Lord. God has a plan for our lives, and it is a good plan. It is a plan to be effective in his kingdom, to reach others with the gospel message. And it is a plan to live a fulfilled life, a life of joy and peace and abundance, lacking no good thing. I hope this word encourages you on this day that we serve a good God, that he withholds no good thing from his people, and that his plan is to move us forward into the calling upon our lives. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, and may he give you his peace, peace which passes all understanding, not as the world gives. May you look to him in all things. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Bye for now.
Everything that God has promised, he will do it. Because remember, the Word of God says he is faithful.
Yes, he is.
He's going to do what he said, even if we don't. But I warn you, I caution you, the Bible says it is better not to make a vow and not keep it. It's, don't even make the vow. You're better off than to make a promise or a vow to God and then break it. I know that for years and years and years, people make what they call their New Year's resolutions. They're going to lose weight. They're going to exercise. They're going to eat better. They're going to quit eating things they shouldn't, drinking things they shouldn't. And within 30, 60, 90 days, they done forgot. They go back to the old way. So I got to where I didn't even make New Year's resolutions anymore because I knew I was not going to keep them. But God says you're better off not to make a vow. You're better off not to promise God anything than to promise him something and don't keep it. You've got to keep your promises. And I'm telling you today, God keeps his promise. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to start off by simply reading verse number 7. I'm not going to read all of the verses, but some of them I'm going to read, and I want to exhort on them. And I wanted to start out with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Excuse me. By faith. Faith. The book of Hebrews, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is hoping. Hoping for what you have not seen. Excuse me. Hoping for what you don't have a hold of today. I'm praying for people right now that are hoping that they will get to keep their job. I'm praying for people today who want a job. Faith is hoping. But if God has promised you something, you don't need to be weary while you're waiting on the Lord, because the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. And we know in Amos 3 and 7 it says that God doeth nothing but what he tells his prophets. Why does God tell the prophets? One, to warn you, to prepare you for what's coming. And in the last days, the Bible does caution us that there will be many false prophets. There are people out there saying that America's going to be great again, and it's going to be wonderful. And I want to tell you something. Excuse me. The sad thing is, if America were to become a great nation, many more people would not want Jesus to come back. Most of those who want Jesus to come are those who are weary now because of the wickedness in this world. In other words, they want to escape their pains and sorrow. Not so much they want him, they want to escape. It's just like the 10 lepers who came to Jesus for healing. And the Bible says he spoke and healed all of them. But only one. Only one, the Bible says, came back and said, thank you. The 9 others just went on their way, glad that they were healed, glad that they got what they wanted, glad that they got what they needed. And it's like the multitude the Bible talks about, the 5,000 men and women, beside the 5,000 men, beside the women and children, who sat under Jesus' teaching for 3 days without a bite to eat. And you know the story, and I know the story. The little boy donated 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and when it was in the hands of Jesus, the Bible says he blessed it and broke it into thousands of little pieces, and the Bible said all the people were filled from the 2 fish, 5 loaves, and the Bible says there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. The point on that I want to make is, before God, excuse me, could bless the multitude, he had to break the offering in pieces. If you ever wonder why God wants his people broken, because we are more pliable. He is the potter. Excuse me. He is the potter. And we are the clay. And the more pliable we are, the greater the work God can do in us. And the greater he works in us, the more he can get done through us. Therefore, the Bible, does it not say that God loves those of a broken and contrite spirit? So you wonder why life is not a bed of roses. You see, some people want the wrong thing. Some people just want God to comfort them. Some people just want God to bless them. Some people just want God to give them what they want, to be their sugar daddy, their Santa Claus, to make life easier, to make life better for them, like the 9 lepers who just wanted to be healed so they could go back home to their families. You see, the reason some people, and I'm going to say this today, some people are not healed because if they were, they would do the wrong things. God knows what's best for you. When I pray for people, I often pray that God will do what is best for them. Not what they want. I remember many years ago, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. When my former pastor, the late Dr. Jimmy Gardner, was in Africa as a pastor, and he was praying over a 12-year-old boy that was dying. And in his prayer, He said, Father, not our will, but your will be done. And Dr. Gardner said when he did that, the mother grabbed him and said, no, 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 don't you say that. I want God to raise my son back up. And Dr. Jimmy Gardner changed his prayer and told God, Father, you've heard the mother. Spare the boy and let him live. He was 12 years old. The conclusion of that story was when that 12-year-old boy lived and grew up, when he reached the age of 21, he was hanged in prison for treason. You think the mom was pleased with herself then? Now, it's just me. I think the boy would have been much better off to have died at the age of 12 and gone on to be with the Lord than to live to be 21, commit treason, and be hanged. You see, God has your best interest at heart. I'm praying for people right now that are dying. I'm not insisting that they live. No. What I'm praying for is God do what's best for them. Some people, it would be better if they'd go on and be with the Lord. Because if they stay here, they're going to suffer more, suffer worse. God's judgments are about to be poured out. And many of us, if we knew what was coming, we'd beg God to take us today rather than suffer. But yet the Bible says those who are willing to suffer for Christ will rule and reign with Christ. So let me ask you today, are you willing? Are you willing to suffer for Christ in order to rule and reign with him? Remember the scripture, many are called, but few are chosen. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, what he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is or which comes by faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't say it every week, but I say it a lot. I know I do. But, Gail, you know, it's foremost on my mind that the Lord promised me 40 years ago that my ministry would reach around the world in in the last days. It didn't happen over the first 39 years. Oh, I tried. I did everything I thought was right, and it didn't happen. And finally, in the last year, God has opened the door for these videos. And now, because of the comments, I realize that people are watching and listening all over the world. But it took 40 years for me for that promise to happen. But for Noah, you think about it. When God told Noah what was coming and told him to build an ark, the Bible tells us it took Noah and his three sons 120 years to build the ark, day after day. Now remember, the Bible says that Noah was 500 years old when God warned him and told him to build the ark, and the Bible says Noah was 600 years old when he entered into the ark. So I want you to think about it. His children weren't babies. His sons and daughter-in-laws were all over 100 years old during the building of the ark and getting into it at the end. But now keep in mind, preacher, Sunday school teacher, evangelist, missionary, that in 120 years, Noah won 0 converts. zero converts. Can you imagine how discouraging it could have been for Noah to tell people what was coming for 120 years and not one outside of his family believed him enough to prepare? So let me ask you today to think about it. The angels told the disciples when Jesus ascended into the clouds, the angels told the disciples, this same Jesus is coming back. And saying of God, that was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, we received the promise that he's coming back. And the Bible says in the last days, people will mock you saying, where is his coming? He's been coming since my grandfather was a baby. Well, I can do better than that. He's been coming for 2,000 years. But he is coming. And Jesus told us of the things to look for, that his coming is imminent. The wars, the rumors of wars. And the pestilence and the famines and all that's going on. And lawlessness. Not a day goes by but what you turn on the news and somebody's killed somebody at the grocery store, where they work, at a school, at an auditorium, out in the streets. They're just shooting indiscriminately, killing. I saw yesterday where a grandmother or a mother and the child was killed at the grocery store. You never know today when you walk out of your house that you're coming back home. But the Bible says that Noah kept building the ark, kept preaching, kept witnessing. But because he did, he prepared an ark to the saving of his own family. Mom and Dad, have you ever stopped to think? You may win nobody to Christ. Nobody. Except your family. And before I get done, I'm going to share with you, you may not live to see that happen. Just because your children are still in sin when you die doesn't mean that God's not going to yet save them. We do know that if they're not saved when Jesus comes, there is no hope for them. But you know and I know that God is faithful and has done everything possible to win your husband, win your wife, win your sons, win your daughters. God's done everything within his power to save people. So if they die and go to hell, not one can point their finger at God and say, you did not warn me. But when you read the history of Noah, the Bible says that God spoke to Noah 7 days before the rain started. 7 days he had a heads up. Get on the boat, Noah. Get on the boat. Noah didn't know he had 7 days. He just knew God said, it's time. Get on the boat. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it's time to come to Jesus or you're not going to make it. The devil's lying to you, saying, oh, you got plenty of time, young people. You may be a teenager today watching me, listening to me, and you say, oh, preacher, I'm young. I got time. No, you don't. Time is shorter than you think. Because when God told Noah to get on the ark, the Bible says, after Noah and his family got on the ark, the Bible says, God shut the door. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when your prayers will no longer be heard. There's coming a day your prayers will no longer be answered. There's coming a day that God's mercy is going to stop flowing on mankind. And when the rain started, it did not stop until every man, woman, boy, girl, baby, beast, bird, whatever, not one living creature lived for another 40 days. The Bible says they all drowned. If you'll read the Bible, it'll tell you that the water was so deep upon the earth that it was 15 feet taller than the highest mountain, which is Mount Everest, between Nepal and China. So you imagine that the water on the earth was above every mountain on the earth, and not one man, not one woman survived it. I wished I could preach without crying. I wished I could preach without my nose running. But that's who I am. I'm telling you. You have but a short time to heed this warning, saith the Lord. I have stood back and watched you. I have stood back and listened to you. As it has just been said, the door to escape my judgment is all but closed. I'm telling you today, it is closing now. You can't see it because you're not looking. You can't hear it because you're not listening. But my warnings are coming to an end. And you will begin to see my judgments fall on this earth. Fall on America. I'm telling you, America is not coming back up again. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. You've sinned in my face. You've spat in my face. You've cursed me to my face. And I've had enough. I'm about to give you a spanking like you've never had, like the world has never seen, saith the Lord of hosts. There will be no prayers that will delay me. There will be no prayers that will change my course. For I have set a course, and I'm going to finish it because I've waited a long, long time have I waited, and I shall wait no more. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I gave my only begotten son for you. He loved you so much, he shed his blood on a cruel Roman cross, bled and died for you. I've given you my word. You've had my word for thousands of years. And those of you who still reject it, those who ignore it, those who tiptoe through it and around it, don't want to believe it, your time is almost up. I say unto you today, come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a fight about to take place that you will not win without me. Even now, you are being tested and tried, and many, too many, are found wanting. Because I love you, I tell you again, the door of grace and mercy